Blog Talk Radio.
My co-host, Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we are in the book study of The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. We're focusing on law number six, which is the law of detachment. Dr. Reggie, how are you?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, baby. How are you?
Oh, exhausted for some reason.
I know. I don't know. I wonder if anybody else has been feeling this awful drain. I mean, it's like you're so tired and you can't get enough sleep.
You know, it feels like it's a part of the ascension process. I read about that.
Wow. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I guess we're really moving quickly because...
We are.
I know. I woke up 4 minutes before the show.
And oh, my God.
I didn't even hear the alarm clock. Wow.
Oh,
so. I know. Anyway, I wanted to let you guys know, this is just a gentle reminder, if you have not checked your email, please check your email to see if you received an email from Circles of Prosperity asking you to click on a link to be added to our new email list because we're changing services. And we have to have your authorization, which they call an opt-in, in order to send you emails. Now, if you're on my, I will probably send some things from my old service just to make sure that everyone gets transferred over to the new service, but it is something that you need to do as soon as possible. Also, when you go on our website, I'm really asking you to join as a member of the website. I know it's a lot of signing up to do, and it's not convenient, and I've tried to look at other ways to do this, but right now I can't do where you sign up once and then you're a member automatically. So you need to sign up to be a member. And the reason I'm asking you to be a member is because I want us to get to know each other much better and to really communicate more. We don't do it much on the show. I think maybe a lot of you may be hesitant to talk on the radio. But it's a forum, and you have to be a member of the website in order to participate in the forum. So I would really appreciate it if you would join the forum, because this upcoming book that we're going to be going into, Spiritual Partnership, this is a workbook, okay? We're going to learn. A lot of times when I do, all of our books have been very inspiring and open and forcing us to shift in our consciousness based on spiritual principles. This book, it's inspiring and it's forcing us to change the way we look at things in terms of relationships, but it also really involves working at it. And even though I encourage you guys all the time to practice these principles, practice, 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 I am moving more towards giving you things to do so that you can practice. So that I give you activities. And the forum is going to be very, very much a center point of that. I just want you to get on it. Even if you hear things on the show, go on to the forum and talk about it, because people are visiting the site or will be visiting the site because I have set the intention that we are going to grow a wonderful online community. That is my intention. And I'm asking you to hold that in the field of potentiality, pure potentiality with me. So therefore, I need your attention and intention. See, we're practicing, aren't we? Your attention and intention on that growth, because it's going to be fun and more dynamic. And of course, if we have people talking about these things and challenging them to look at things a little slightly differently and to take responsibility for their lives, then to consciously take responsibility for the choices that they're making and to make choices that uplift humankind, then wow, that's amazing, isn't it? That's wonderful. So I need your help. I can't do it alone. You know, it takes all of us. We're a village. It takes all of us to make this change. So please go on the site. That's circlesofprosperity.org, O-R-G, okay? No spaces or anything. And sign up in the members section. Plus, I've done a whole lot of work on the website. It's very different looking now. So I would just appreciate it if you do that. There's a blog there, and periodically I post articles and things there. So it's another way for us to communicate, and you kind of know my thought process, and for me to give you some information to uplift you. It's a wonderful tool. Use it. Use it. If you can't get on a call, get on the website. It's another tool for you, okay? The other thing, let me see. Friday, this Friday, hold your horses, is Oracle Friday. Yay! And Reginald Lewis is our guest intuitive. He is going to blow your socks off. He really is. And I think what I love about Reginald, he is so sweet. He's just, he's such a gentle spirit. And his whole purpose in life, he's a young man, and all he's here to do is God's work. You are going to love him, okay? You're going to love him, all right? And then I've got more good stuff coming. I'm not going to take all morning on it, but just mark your calendar that Friday is Oracle Friday, and we have a special guest, and we really want to show out for him, okay? Because he's a young guy, and you're just going to love him. You can Google him on the internet, Reginald Lewis Readings. Okay, just Reginald Lewis Psychic or Reginald Lewis Readings, and you can read up on him, but you will see that he is a gentle spirit and here to do much light work. So, Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our opening prayer?
Yes. Let's poise and breathe. Dear God, we thank you for breath. We thank you for life. We hope that we are always in a mode of gratitude and thanksgiving, because that is the first law of the universe in becoming and ascending. Let us gain this power to love people, to love each other, and love ourselves, not to hurt no one, including ourselves. Let us know that we cannot receive success or experience it without first knowing the law of inner success, no matter what happens on the outside. Let us learn to be happy and joyous in this life. Otherwise, it will show. Our souls will hurt, and we can't put a Band-Aid on a battle wound of the soul. We thank you that you are in us and giving us life always. And let us always march into this ascension process and grow and expand our awareness and learn to be powerful beings, but loving beings at the same time as we go forward. Heal our sicknesses, and I pray for Reed, who's in the hospital, I understand. I pray for him and affirm that he's healed and affirm that everyone who's listening will receive a healing as well in love or in their body and in their finances and in their shelter, and in their locations of home if they're trying to get a new one. We bless all people in all things. You are watching over us, sheltering us with the love of angels and invisible support. Let us never forget that. that the kingdom is within us. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. Thank you, Dr. Reggie. And thank you. Yes, we have our dear friend who's been on the call. Many of you who have followed us know Reed. He comes on and says, I'm Reed. He's in the hospital, and we need to hold him in the light. He's doing much better, may not have to have surgery, but we need to hold him in the light and see him whole and perfect. And thank you for the reminder, Dr. Reggie, for the prayer. All right, so we're going to talk about the law of detachment. In detachment lies the wisdom of uncertainty, and in the wisdom of uncertainty lies the freedom from our past, from the unknown, which is the prison of past conditioning. And in our willingness to step into the unknown, the field of all possibilities, we surrender ourselves to the creative mind that orchestrates the dance of the universe. And he has a little poem here, and I'm not going to try to pronounce who the poet is, okay? Like two golden birds perched on the self-same tree, intimate friends, the ego and the self dwell in the same body. The former eats the sweet and sour fruits of the tree, while the latter looks on in detachment. Well, so the sixth spiritual law of success is the law of detachment. And the law of detachment says that in order to acquire anything in the physical universe, you have to relinquish your attachment to it. That's simple enough, isn't it? This doesn't mean that you give up the intention to create your desire. You don't have to give up the intention, and you don't give up the desire, but you give up your attachment to the result. This is a very powerful thing to do, because the moment you relinquish your attachment to the result, combining one-pointed intention with detachment at the same time, you will have that which you desire. Anything that you want to can be acquired through detachment, because a detachment is based on the unquestioning belief in the power of your true self. I'm going to repeat that again. Anything you want can be acquired through detachment, because detachment is based on the unquestioning belief in the power of your true self. Attachment, on the other hand, is based on fear and insecurity. And the need for security is based on not knowing the true self. So the source of wealth, of abundance, or of anything in the physical world is the self. It is the consciousness that knows how to fulfill everything. Everything else is a symbol. Cars, houses, banknotes, clothes, airplanes. Symbols are transitory. They can come and go. Chasing symbols is like settling for the map instead of the territory. It creates anxiety. It ends up making you feel hollow and empty inside, because you exchange yourself for the symbols of yourself. And I'm going to say this one more time. You are exchanging yourself, meaning your spirit, the essence of who you are, because he has itself. He doesn't say yourself as one word. Yourself. Self is singular, and he puts it with a capital S. So you are, write that down so you can see it. You are, you exchange your essence, your self, for the symbols of your self. For the symbols of what represents you. Are you grasping that? Are you grasping that? Because I think that's a powerful statement, that the car is only a symbol for what you really are, the power you have to manifest it, to bring something into physical form, to be a co-creator with God. That's all it is, a symbol. And we really get hung up on material things. And, you know, I say this very comfortably because I'm there. I've just told Reggie, I want a new car. And I drive down, as I'm driving, I'm looking at all the cars on the freeway, and I'm almost salivating over them. But I'm not, I do know that I'm not attached to a car. It's just right now, I guess I'm setting my intention and my desire. There was a time that, and how many of you say, oh, I want a Mercedes, but you don't stop and think about why you want that Mercedes? Is it really to validate who you are because it's a status symbol? Or is it because it's just a fine machine and you deserve it? You know, stop and think about why you want some of these things. Because if it's on any level to make you feel better, then you've missed the point. You've missed the point. When you can get to the point that you're just thankful that you have solid transportation, because it's a need in this physical world to get from point A to point B, and as long as it's running well, that you're content, then there's no attachment, is there? No. Okay, so attachment comes from poverty consciousness. Check that out. Because attachment is always to symbols. Detachment is synonymous with wealth consciousness, because with detachment, there is freedom to create. Only from detached involvement can one have joy and laughter. And then the symbols of wealth are created spontaneously and effortlessly. Without detachment, we are prisoners of helplessness, hopelessness, mundane needs, trivial concerns, quiet desperation, and seriousness, the distinctive features of everyday mediocre existence and poverty consciousness. Wow. True wealth consciousness is the ability to have anything that you want, anytime you want it, and with the least amount of effort. And so to be grounded in this experience, you have to be grounded in the wisdom of uncertainty. And in this uncertainty, you will find the freedom to create anything that you want. People are constantly seeking security. And you will find that seeking security is actually a very ephemeral thing. Even attachment to money is a sign of insecurity. You might say, when I have X million dollars, then I'll be secure. Then I'll be financially independent, and I will retire. And then I will do all the things that I really want to do. But it never happens. It never happens. Those who seek security chase it for a lifetime without ever finding it. It remains elusive and ephemeral, because security can never come from money alone. Attachment to money will always create insecurity, no matter how much money you have in the bank. In fact, some of the people who have the most money are the most insecure. And the search for security is an illusion. In ancient wisdom traditions, the solution to the whole dilemma lies in the wisdom of insecurity or the wisdom of uncertainty. And this means that the search for security and certainty is actually an attachment to the known, to what is already known. And what's the known? The known is the past. The known is nothing other than the prison of past conditioning. And there's no evolution in that, is there? Absolutely none at all. And when there is no evolution, there is stagnation, there's entropy, there's disorder, and there's decay. So uncertainty, on the other hand, is the fertile ground of pure creativity and freedom. And uncertainty means stepping into the unknown at every moment of your existence. So the unknown is the field of all possibilities. It's ever fresh, ever new, always open to the creation of new manifestations. Uncertainty and the unknown, if we're moving in uncertainty and if we're moving in the unknown, then life is just the stale repetition of outworn memories. And you become the victim of the past. And your tormentor today is yourself left over from yesterday. Oh, my goodness. The past is, experiencing the past is like eating leftovers. And I know I get tired of leftovers. Like I've really tried to learn how to cook small amounts so I don't have a huge amount of leftovers, because eventually I get tired of eating them and then I can't get through them all and then I feel bad because I have to throw the food away. Stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. So relinquish your attachment to the known. Step into the unknown, and you will step into the field of all possibilities. And you know basically what this is? This is, you know, our good Christians will say, baby, you got to step out in faith. That's all this is, stepping out in faith. Why? Because you don't know what's ahead. All you know is that I need to do something. I want to do something. So you move in the moment and you step out in faith. You're stepping into the unknown. And you're not attached to the outcome because you don't even know what it is. That's what they're telling us here. So in your willingness to step into the unknown, you will have the wisdom of uncertainty factored in. And that means that in every moment of your life, you will have excitement and adventure and mystery. And you will experience the fun of life, the magic, the celebration, the exhilaration, and the exaltation of your own spirit. Wow. Thank you, God. How many of you get up in the morning, go to work, get dressed, now take a shower, have some cup of coffee, get dressed, go to this work job that you absolutely hate, come home, look at a little bit of television, have a little dinner, go to bed, get up, go take a shower, get dressed, have a cup of coffee, drive to work that you don't like anymore, go through the motions every day at work, come home, watch a little TV, have a little something to eat, go to bed. We do that 5 days, 6 days, 7 days a week. And then we say, I'm bored. What keeps you stuck? What keeps you in that place? It's known. It's comfortable. You are afraid. I'm close to retiring. Shake it up. Have the courage to shake it up. If you don't step out today, when? So, you need to be able to do that knowing that the power within you, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is your consciousness, your awareness of your God self. You can do all things. And as long as you're moving in that energy, everything is going to be in divine order. You see how all the pieces are falling together? When we relinquish the judgment, we started with relinquishing the judgments, relinquishing the labels. And we're moving into the awareness, expanding our consciousness that there is no right or wrong, no good or bad. So you can't make a right decision or a wrong decision, a good decision or a bad decision. You've just made a choice. And then you move into the consciousness and the awareness and the trust in trust and the faith in faith that everything is in divine order. And if this choice led to a lesson that wasn't, you know, that you learned a lesson from it and you move on from it because you're not hanging on to the past and beating yourself up over it. You are a co-creator with the one power in the universe, and it resides in you. And so you just say, oh, rewind, that didn't work, move in the next direction. I'm stepping out in this moment now to shift. And you know what, when I was younger, I was that way, and I had to work so hard to be the kind of person that didn't just say, you know what, I don't like this, let me jump up and move and go and do something else. You know, everybody was telling me I was flighty. But guess what? I was not flighty. I was moving in my joy, moment to moment. That's how we're supposed to be. Now, some of you may find something that you absolutely love and you stay right there. But until then, we're experimenting, aren't we? And lo and behold, my father worked on me until I got in line and lived that life of that was so mundane. Getting up, going to work, being a great worker, worker, work, 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 work. But I instinctively knew how to move in my joy and manifest that which I desired. And, you know, sometimes things were weird and iffy, you know, when you're an artist, because we always talk about starving artists, because they're not going along with the program, are they? They're not going to corporate America and holding some VP job. No, artists are experiencing life and trying to define what that is for them and for you. They're analyzing, they're looking at your emotions, they're looking at, they analyze being. And it's really trying to have a very close walk with God from analyzing what is being. What causes this emotion? What causes sadness? What causes fear? And they do it through music. They do it through poetry. It's all trying to understand why are we here? What is the purpose? So you're really, it's a spiritual journey to be an artist. But no, he didn't stop until I was in line and marching to the step. But what would the world be without artists? Those who shine a mirror back at us, what would the world be? So Every day you can look for the excitement of what may occur in the field of possibilities. Wow. And when you experience uncertainty, you are on the right path. So don't give it up. You don't need to have a complete rigid idea of what you'll be doing next week or next year, because if you have a very clear idea of what's going to happen and you get rigidly attached to it, then you shut out the whole range of possibilities. Wow. Did you guys ever hear this story? I heard this story. I think it was in church one day. There's a guy, he was an immigrant, and coming from Europe and coming to America. And he had bought his ticket on the ship to come to America. And he had his little stash of food with him. He had, you know, some bread and some cheese and hard meat, things that could last for the journey. And so he would retire to his little cabin, and he would eat his little cheese and stuff that he brought with him, and kind of cutting it up so that it would last the whole journey, because that was going to be several weeks on the ocean to get here. And when he gets off the ship, he runs into a friend of his, and he says, "Oh my God, I didn't see you on the ship." He said, "Wasn't the food glorious?" And the guy says, what food? He says, "Oh, the banquet, they had this whole spread of food and everything." He says, "Oh my goodness, how were you able to afford that?" He says, "What do you mean? It was included as part of your fare." And so this man had a limited thought and missed the whole smorgasbord, nibbling on his little stash of cheese and salami and bread, when a whole smorgasbord was available to him. So when we tend to define what it is that we want, then we define how it is that we want it, do you realize that that's a limitation? And you are blocking, you may be blocking a huge blessing that is available to you. They're saying when you plan out the whole range of things, that you're missing a whole range of possibilities. So one characteristic of the field of all possibilities is infinite correlation. The field can orchestrate an infinity of space-time events to bring about the outcome that is intended. But when you are attached, your intention gets locked into a rigid mindset, and you lose the fluidity, you lose the creativity, and the spontaneity inherent in the field. And when you get attached, then you freeze your desire from the infinite fluidity and flexibility into this rigid framework, which interferes with the whole process of creation. The whole process of creation. And so, and guess what? Those people that are trying to do law of attraction without understanding this, you think they're attracting what they desire? They're blocking it. And they'll say, "Oh no, it doesn't work." They're blocking it. And here's the part that I really like about understanding attachment and detachment. Attachment means that you are afraid to let go. More importantly, you are afraid that you can't, that it won't get any better than this. You're afraid that you can have more. That's powerful. Or worse yet, "I'm afraid that this will happen. That will happen to me again. This will happen. That will happen. I don't want that to happen." Afraid of an imagined obstacle. Attachment. Is it your friend? I'm just asking. Deepak Chopra says that when you get attached, you freeze your desire from the infinite fluidity and flexibility into a rigid framework which interferes with the whole process of creation. You freeze your desire. You're putting it in deep freeze. You're not releasing it to move into the infinite field of possibilities. So the law of detachment does not interfere with the law of intention and desire, with goal setting. You still have the intention of going in a certain direction. You still have a goal. However, between point A and point B, there are infinite possibilities. With uncertainty factored in, what you might change, you might change direction in any moment if you find a higher ideal or if you find something more exciting. You are less likely to force solutions on problems, which enables you to stay alert and opportunities. You are less likely to force solutions on problems, which enables you to stay alert to opportunities. The law of detachment accelerates the whole process of evolution. When you understand this law, you don't feel compelled to force solutions. When you force solutions on problems, you only create new problems. Hello? But when you put your attention on the uncertainty and you witness the uncertainty while you expectantly wait for the solution to emerge out of all this chaos and the confusion, then what emerges is something that is very fabulous and very exciting. This is a state of alertness. Your preparedness in the present, in the field of uncertainty, meets your goal and your intention and allows you to seize that opportunity. And what's the opportunity? It's contained within every problem that you have in your life. Every single problem that you have in your life is the seed of an opportunity for some greater benefit. And once you have that perception, then you open up to a whole range of possibilities. And this keeps the mystery. This keeps the wonder, the excitement, the adventure. It keeps it alive. Let's roll back here for a moment, because Deepak Chopra is saying, what is the opportunity? He says it's contained in every problem. How many of you look at a problem and say, ooh, inside that problem is a seed of opportunity? I doubt it. Well, let me put it this way. I first look at the problem. Then I try to figure out a solution. But I look at the problem in fear. How many of you do that? Am I the only one? But we're shifting, right? We're shifting. So now we're going to look at this problem and go, you know, Donna, I don't know if she's on the call this morning, but Donna tells this story about when her car, she went into a class or something, and she comes out, and her car doesn't start. It just doesn't start. Now, you know, women with cars that don't start, that's drama. And it's stressful because, A, we don't know cars well. And that, I'm not saying all women, okay, but we don't know cars very well. And if we're single, you know, who's going to come and help us? Or, you know, it's just it presents a lot of challenges. And so I really admired her when she told this story, because she said she sat in her car and she took a deep breath and all she said was, God loves me. End of story. And it's such a perfect example. There was no struggle, no attachment to how she was going to get home, no fear, none of it. God loves me. End of story. And, of course, if you were on the call, then you do know that people came from out of nowhere, helped her get her car started or or checked on her or whatever and took her home, I know it had a happy ending. She moved into the field of uncertainty with faith and trust with one statement. She didn't say, "Fix my car. God, please let my car start." No. "God loves me." End of story. I love that. I love, Donna, just so you know, I often think of that. And I'm sharing it once more. It was a very powerful statement. So what Deepak is saying, every single problem that you have in your life is the seed of an opportunity for some greater benefit. And once you have that perception, you open up the whole range of possibilities. So you can look at every problem you have in your life as an opportunity for some greater benefit. You can stay alert to opportunities by being grounded in the wisdom of uncertainty. And when your preparedness meets an opportunity, the solution will spontaneously appear. And so what comes out of that is often called good luck. And good luck is nothing but preparedness and an opportunity coming together. And when the two are mixed together with an alert witnessing of the chaos, a solution emerges that will be the evolutionary benefit to you and to all those that you come into contact with. And this is the perfect recipe for success, isn't it? And it is based on the law of detachment. So I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. I hope you enjoyed this lesson. Tomorrow we'll be going into the law of Dharma, or your purpose in life.
Mm.
Hey, Dr. Reggie.
Hey.
That was powerful, huh?
It was. And Father, I thank you for this beautiful lesson. It teaches me that the language of the soul is real, and we're activating your power in us, not by force or by might, but by allowing. And we invoke this divine energy within, this kingdom of heaven within, to carry out our wishes and our aspirations. And we're using these powerful energies of language, of love, not hate, and life, not death, and peace, not war, and riches, not poverty, good, not evil, health and not sickness, youthfulness and not aging, joy and not misery, beauty and not ugliness, love and not hate, and confidence and not fear. You gave us a lot to work with. And if we wish to carry out and work these miracles through our minds, we must be sure that we approach you with the divine center of consciousness, with spiritual words of communication that represent life-giving, positive, and healing qualities of life. Therein lies our success. And we thank you for our vitality and creative communication that is non-destructive and helps to build our body, mind, and spirits and the whole universe in a state of well-being for our lives. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you this morning. We're streaming now, so they can go and listen to the archive. You guys have a blessed day, and we'll be here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.